and welcome to hour number two of our radio program. It's all about a free agent in the NFL, unemployed Richard Sherman, who broke his radio silence, going on the record for the first time since his arrest this summer. What's your takeaway from Richard Sherman's statement about a momentary lapse in judgment? I'll tell you my take on it. We'll get to that right now in hour number two. Radio silence no longer. Welcome in the beginning of yet another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are together in the air everywhere as we galvanize into action coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR. Emanating live from the belly of the audio beast, the Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location in the Northwoods. So our lead this hour coming from the old Legion of Boom, a charter member, the face of that glorious era in Seattle, has ended the radio silence. Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman is back. Now, he didn't sign with an NFL team, but he did go on the record for the first time since he had a night of debauchery, a night of crime, if you will, at his in-laws' home. And he has finally talked about what happened that night and what the future holds. Now, if you did not hear, this has been recorded. We have some audio of Richard Sherman. We have some of the highlights here as he chatted it up with an old buddy of his who used to cover the Seahawks back in the day. Richard Sherman was asked, among other things, he was asked what happened with the arrest, right? And this is the big soundbite, one of the big soundbites here. We'll have the audio, so we'll go to the audio tape. But here is Sherman, who claims that he was at a crossroads in his life.
Oh, you know, it's just one of those days. You know, people have bad days and, you know, call me on a bad day, you know, off day. Too much time in my hands, too much time to think, you know. It's unfortunate. It's one of those things, one of those times in life you reach a bit of a crossroads and, you know, it just seemed my crossroads was seen more publicly. But I'm grateful for what happened. You know, it was a good eye-opening experience, good chance for me to find help and to get the help I needed and have some conversations that I wasn't able to have before and to get some clarity that I did not have.
See, everything's hunky-dory. Oh, things happen. You know, you get out of there. It's reminiscent of the player in Houston that was caught in a situation with his brother. They were hooked up.
And stuff like this happens, bro.
Yeah, yeah. It's very similar, very similar. Anyway, all right, here's more from, this is Richard Sherman explaining that despite his issues, they were not football-related problems.
More personal. I mean, professionally, I'm not really at a crossroads. You know, football is fantastic. You know, when I get on the field, it's football. It's one of those things you can do in your sleep. I can wake up out the bed and be really good at football. I think just overall growth in life and just understanding purpose and meaning and you know, why you do certain things.
Yes. Okay. But wait, there's more. Here is Richard Sherman. This is the big one here. He's trying to get back in the NFL. So he was asked to make his elevator pitch as to why a prospective employer should sign him with all of the baggage. And let's go to the audio tape.
I got a decade worth of resume that you know, should stand more firmly than a momentary lapse in judgment. You know, I got a decade worth of character and tape to be judged off of. You know, if you're judging me off of a momentary lapse, then, you know, I think it's going to be, you know, then I'm probably not the player for you either way.
All right. So that's the money quote right there. So Sherman's saying, if you're judging me off a monetary lapse or whatever it was, he said, I think it's going to be, I'm probably not the player for you. So that's it right there. So let us discuss the question. What is your takeaway? You just heard the audio. That was the key part of it. We played the key parts of it. So what is your takeaway from the Richard Sherman comments ending his radio silence, thank you kindly, and that statement about this just being a momentary lapse of judgment? So my observations, I've got off-ramp, sock puppet, and three Little Pigs. And then, I know those all make strange bedfellows, but just stay with me. All right, so number one. Richard Sherman is on the brink of returning to the NFL. You know that. I know that. Everybody knows that. He will be back in the NFL before long. Watching this interview, which had been recorded for posterity's sake, this was done as a PR counterattack. It was obvious, right? Sherman doesn't have an agent. He represents himself. As a result, he has to run interference on his own. When you have an agent, you pay them 5% or whatever it is of your salary, and then they have a whole network of toadies in the media that do this stuff for you. But Sherman doesn't have that. He keeps all of his money, but the problem is he has to go out and do his own public relations. So it is more probable than not that the prospective employers that Sherman has been talking to have said, okay, we want you, but you've got to do an interview to publicly address the arrest. Go on the record. You got to talk on the record before we sign you to clear the runway for takeoff. That way, when Sherman does inevitably sign with Team X, he can then, when he's asked questions, dismiss those questions. Whoever the coach is, who signs Richard Sherman, they'll say, listen, Richard's already addressed that. He did the interview. There's nothing more to say. We've moved on, right? And they can continue to direct reporters to this interview. So Richard hopped in his 2014 Mercedes and took off on the off-ramp to what we call Spin Alley, right? Spin, 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 Spin Alley. That's what they say in politics, right? It's all an attempt to spin the media coverage in your direction, old-fashioned damage control. And will it work? Will it work? Well, yes, because most people aren't as cynical and jaded as we are. And most people will hear that and say, oh, I feel bad for him. Let's give him another chance and all that. Now, the second thing, this is inconvenient. Right? It's inconvenient mishigas that needed to be done as we laid out for you. But it's all part of the process or process to return to the NFL. It's busybody work. Richard Sherman made it as painless as possible. What's my evidence? He hand-selected a sports writer, I think is a human sock puppet. I don't know who this guy is, but that was the work as the mouthpiece, right? Sherman chatting with a lackey sports writer who sounded a lot like a fanboy, a buddy of his from his days with the Seahawks, to give you a word picture of how this went down, because I heard the whole thing. Sherman, it certainly appeared, knew exactly what was coming. And it's fair to say that, in my opinion, it was all orchestrated. The beginning of that was all orchestrated. The way those questions came out, the answers were prepared, and it was lobbing softballs, little underhand lobbing of the softballs. It was akin, very reminiscent of the reporter in Jacksonville, about 10 days ago or so, who asked Urban Meyer about the USC job and then felt guilty about it. All right, so I'm just going to give you a chance to deny it. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's ridiculous. This had a similar vibe to it, the Richard Sherman interview, because after the handful, actually less than a handful of questions about the night gone bad, it was a very soft touch, right? The reporter, I say that in air quotes, drew a bubble bath and or a neck massage for Sherman, feeling pity on him like a good sock puppet. You provide praise, you defend, and you support. That's what sock puppets do. The whole thing was cringeworthy, in my humble opinion. Now, this latest interview that we're discussing here, Sherman chatted for 25 minutes. It was like a podcast interview for 25 minutes. You can find it on the internet. It's not hard to find. I'm going to warn you, though, that he spent, Richard Sherman and this sports writer buddy of his, over 75% of the time doing hardo tape review with Richard Sherman. Because if there's one thing that your life and my life needed, it was Richard Sherman and a scribe breaking down game film from last NFL season, unless that was not on my agenda. Unless that was not on my agenda. Final point. So Richard Sherman's defense strategy was that he shouldn't be judged off a momentary lapse of judgment, a.k.a. don't judge me, bro. I'm not that guy, pal, the internet meme, which I found amusing. Now, if you missed the details, Sherman is very lucky. He's facing five charges: criminal trespass in the second degree, malicious mischief in the third degree, resisting arrest, driving while under the influence, and reckless endangerment of roadway workers. And he's lucky the authorities in Redmond, Washington are big fans of the Seahawks. They must be 12th men there, the people that were going over this case, because that's getting off easy, what he did. DUI, hit and run, running around, abandoning the car, severely damaged car, had to be taken down by a police canine, according to the reports that night. Richard Sherman, he played out that the night that went bad, as he said, momentary lapse in judgment. It was like when I was a kid and my mom read me the Three Little Pigs fable, right? And Sherman was playing the role of the big bad wolf. And he pounded on the front door and he growled, "Let me in!" And then he huffed and puffed and tried to blow the house down, or at least the door. But hey, momentary lapse. And then the judge came out and talked about what a model citizen Sherman is. And he literally and figuratively got special treatment because he's a famous football player. It's great, man. It's wonderful. It doesn't matter. Like, all this, Sherman had to do this because the team, it made it easier on whoever signs him. But in the NFL world, they don't care. If you're a star, you can get away with it. Right? But if you're not, forget about it. Players are judged and graded for momentary lapses of judgment every single day of the week, twice on Sunday. And they get fined. They get released, fired, traded, suspended, you name it. It happens all the time. In fact, there was a game Thursday night. There are guys on Houston that will be let go because of the game film, a momentary lapse in judgment where they decided not to cover certain Carolina offensive players. So, again, the big picture, Sherman is one small step ahead of the NFL. He's got the ace up the sleeve. The legal system is bogged down. Everything came to a halt with COVID in 2020. The courts were pretty much shut down for a good period of time. And so everything's backed up. And so there's no suspension until after the season at the earliest. And the next step, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, sooner than later, Richard Sherman returns to the NFL. The NFL doesn't care about his arrest because Sherman is a name brand player and he's 33, he's past his prime as a defensive back, but he's a savvy veteran, and they love their savvy veterans. The smart move here, we've been saying it all along, is to just cherry pick. Well, cherry picking, and just wait a couple more weeks, see where everything is and which team is a legit Super Bowl contender. And if you play the odds, there are three teams that Sherman should try to play for: the Bucks, the Rams, or the Chiefs. And that's it. That's the list. The Bucks, the Rams, and the Chiefs. And I'll tell you why. All of them have stacked decks, and none of them are in the Pacific Northwest. There's a lot of chatter that you should go back to the Seahawks. And I'm like, what are you nuts? I mean, that's where this all happened. You get away from there. You go all the way across the country to Florida and do your thing there. Or go out to Kansas City and eat barbecue and enjoy the fountains in Kansas City and have a great time. But no. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show, and we have the NFL Pick'em right now. In fact, the NFL Pick'em, time shifted. It was supposed to be last hour, but we are going to pick now a bunch of random NFL players: the quarterback, running back, tight end, two receivers, and whoever gets the most fantasy points will be deemed the winner and the champion of fantasy football for that week. Let's see, who is going first? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Who is Mr. Fantasy? Oh, that's right. It is I.
Who?
Yeah, let me be Ben. First pick, Team Maller will be selecting eeny, meeny, miny, moe, Patrick Mahomes in the bounce back game. Eddie.
Let's see. Let's go with, I'll take Russell Wilson.
Oh, you're actually trying to win this week. Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Roberto.
Let's go Derrick Henry.
Ah, Derrick Henry is gone.
Yeah, baby.
He's off the board. Kuba Loop.
All right, I'm going to go with, I'll go with Travis Kelce.
All right. You got it.
And DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, that's a bad pick. All right, Roberto. What? He's hurt. Roberto, go
best,
ahead.
He's the best wide receiver in the
he's
league.
He's hurt. He's injured.
What do you mean he's not injured?
He's injured. He is. Roberto, go ahead.
Go with, give me Tyreek Hill.
All right. You get one pick. No, you only get one.
Well, I got two.
You only
back.
Get one. No, you don't.
Okay.
All right. Did I go out of order here?
No. Eddie's up next.
Right. All right. Go ahead. Go ahead, Eddie.
Let's go with, I'll take Cooper Kupp.
Oh, a ram. You can ram it all day. You can ram it all night. Give me eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I'll take Nick Chubba-lub-lub of the Cleveland Browns.
It's not a good pick.
That's a great
that's
pick.
Not a good pick.
That's the greatest pick of all time.
Bears have a really good run defense.
No, they don't. They play the Bengals and the Rams, who can't run the ball. Give me a Keenan Allen of the Chargers.
Oh,
Keenan Allen of the Chargers. That's a great pick. Another great pick.
He's not even
unbelievably
top
10
this
great
week.
Pick.
Not even top 10
all right, go ahead, Eddie. Go
not
ahead.
Even on my board.
Yeah. Let's go.
He's on my board. All right, got him. He's off your board.
Terrible pick.
Let's go with Darren Waller.
Hell of a pick.
Let's pick a Steelers tight end, Eddie. Come on.
Why don't you pick
go
him?
Ahead, Roberto. Go ahead.
No, thank you.
Hurry up. Hurry up.
Zip it.
Go with Davante Adams.
Fresno State road game.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Coop, the back.
Niners ain't that good. Overrated.
Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to go with Chris Carson.
With a question mark.
And you know what? I'm just going to do it. Cortland Sutton.
Wow.
Oh,
my
God.
Wow.
Wow.
Terrible.
Wow.
All right, you're up, Roberto.
He's
you're
going up against the Jets. It's a great pick.
Let's go with, let me see. Hold on a second.
Hurry up.
Hold on a second.
Hurry up.
Give me Lamar Jackson.
Oh, he's hurt. That's a bad pick.
He's not.
That's a terrible. He missed
got
practice.
An upset tummy.
Yeah.
Got chorro.
He's puking up his guts. Go ahead, Eddie.
Let's see. I need a running back, but I don't want to take a running back right now. Let's go with, I will take a running back. Let's go with Dalvin Cook.
Oh, he's hurt too. That's a bad job by you. Not doing your due diligence.
He told me that he was going to play.
That should have kind of hurt.
Give me a Detroit Lion, TJ Hockenson, the only Lion who's good at the wideout or the tight end position. And my final pick, I don't think he's been selected, from the Seattle Seahawks, Tyler Lockett. Boom! All right, Eddie, you're up. Last pick, Eddie.
Let's go with Chris Godwin of the Buccaneers.
Nah, the Rams are going to shove it down his throat. Go ahead, Roberto. Blah.
I'll take Gronk. Give me Gronk. Gronk?
Oh, they're playing the Rams. These
Rams
guys are going to terrible games.
Rams are going to get their ass kicked
this week. The Patriots are going to look ahead. Or the Bucs are going to look ahead to the Patriots. All right, go ahead, Koopa Loop, your last pick.
Should I make this more fun for myself? Or should I
Pick Dante Culpepper and Vic Fangio and the Broncos defense and all that.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
Touchdown, Teddy.
Yeah.
Two-glove Teddy.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Teddy, two-glove.
Are you trying to just, you don't care about this game?
That's like when Eddie picks Cal Ripken in the MLB pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same concept.
They're going up against the Jets. What?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens. Hang in there, Buckaroo.
All right, Broncos opener. Yeah. Going to light it up. They're going to light up the scoreboard. Fireworks.
Yeah. Oh, the fans will be lighting everything up in the stands, but I don't know. anyway, it is the Ben Maller Show, and straight ahead, we'll take your calls at 877-99-FOX, and on the lamb, not the ram, on the lamb. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Listen up, Maller Militia. The Ben Maller Show is the show of the people, by the people, for the people. Join the movement and follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our executive producer. He is manning the phones, but he's more than just the call screener. He's the liar, liar, and the menace of the Fox Sports Radio Network. It's the Coop de Loop, Justin Cooper, and he's at UH Bronco Fan. And he's got Coop Scoop on Entertainment coming up in the final hour of this program. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
I got an email from Blind Scott the other day. He said he's thinking about moving to Santa Monica, Eddie. Our guy Blind Scott in Boston.
That's a terrible idea.
I think you should move in at Casa Garcia. That's where you should go. Be a roommate. Wouldn't you like to have Blind Scott as your roommate?
He and I don't really like each other much. Maybe you could move You like him. You've met with him in person more than once. So
I have. I've
if anyone on the show is going to take him in, it's you. And you've got new room in your new mansion.
No.
Oh, it's
construction zone. I can barely live here.
He can't see it. What does he care?
And, no, he would smell it, though. It'd be bad for his smelling. And when you're blind, you have better, your smelling's better, your other senses, your sense of taste is better. Yeah. So, no, I think you guys would patch things up. You'd be best friends.
No, we're enemies for life.
You love dogs. Dylan's a great dog.
We already have two. We don't need any more.
Yeah. All right.
Bella needs a friend.
No. Bella definitely is a one dog, dog. Biatch.
Well said.
That's it. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Anyway, we'll take your phone calls here. Why not? Say call and show. Let's say hello now to Rachel in Montebello in Southern California.
Hey, where are the white women at?
One of our favorites, the great Rachel, season caller.
Magnificent Ben, we are in good hands. We enter NFL's week number 3 in the last regular season 10 games of the MLB season. Ben, I find it truly intriguing and remarkable to remark on Ken Burns and the docudrama Muhammad Ali. Did you get a chance to see it?
Who?
I have not seen it. I've been several listeners have said I got to watch it. It's great. It's wonderful. And
Ben, I gave Ken Burns and Bank of America a vigorous thumbs up. Great.
Oh, you did.
Job.
You gave a thumbs up.
Now, great two, job. Well two, done. Well
two,
done.
Two thumbs up or just one thumbs up?
Two thumbs up. Ben, it was well done. The great Ali is arguably the greatest show on earth during the 20th century.
Yeah.
The great Ali's life, his story told by Ken Burns, and, of course, sponsored by Bank of America. It was truly, truly enjoyable.
I'm glad you worked in the sponsor. That was important. But Ken Burns, the OG of the documentary game, and I've seen a lot of his. I mean, anything on PBS is pretty much a Ken Burns documentary. Prohibition, Civil War, like all those things over the years. But I've not watched this one yet.
Story was impressively told by Ken Burns, which flew like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Great job, Mr. Burns.
I will check that out now. There's still, as you know, Rachel, we were on the air the night Muhammad Ali passed away. We did a 6-line tribute, and I remember we had an interloper in there that did not like Muhammad Ali, that was upset with his political positions back in the day. So back in those days, polarizing, and then as he aged and he had the health problems because of the Parkinson's and whatnot, that people just loved Muhammad Ali.
And what a beautiful, beautiful man. I mean, exquisite.
All right. Well, you've done a tremendous job of marketing the Ken
Have
Burns
a great weekend, Ben. I
all
love
right,
you
thank
all.
You.
All
right.
Of you. Every
yes,
one of you.
And, oh, well, we love you. Thank
I love you.
You
two bits.
All right. Oh, wow. All right. Very exciting.
Good morning, NFL Football America.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
So last Thursday night in the NFL, if you recall, the Washington football team was hosting the New York Giants. And early on in that game, the Giants lost their center, Nick Gates. And it was one of those injuries that you knew it was bad and you knew he was going to be done for the year. But unfortunately for him, his recovery is not going well. He's still in the hospital a week later. And Joe Judge, the head coach of the Giants, was asked about it. And he said that they're obviously very concerned and that it is, to be realistic about it, he may never play football again. So that sucks. You see these guys go down and you think, you know, that's too bad. He's going to miss the rest of the year. But that may have been it for Nick Gates, the center for the New York Giants. Hopefully not, but it doesn't look good right now.
Yeah, and how old is he?
He's 25.
25 years old. So 25 years old. What are they? If you have a career-ending injury in the NFL, do you get? Is there like a pension that you get, or are you just out of luck and you got to go get a job somewhere
else? Good question.
Else?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll find out at some point here. All right, thank you for that, Eddie. You knew it was bad when Joe Buck was like, we can't show it. We're not going to show it. They love showing that kind of stuff because it's gruesome.
Well,
television.
They used to. Nowadays, as you mentioned, a different time.
Oh, is that right? They don't do it anymore?
I think so.
I thought when Dak Prescott got hurt, didn't they do that with Dak? I thought they did, no? Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe I'm wrong. So here's a story that will actually excite Eddie Garcia. I'm actually doing this because I believe Eddie told the story that he was at this particular Super Bowl moment, one of the more famous moments in Super Bowl media day history. Do you remember when a random Mexican television personality went up to Tom Brady and proposed to Tom Brady. Wore a wedding dress. Weren't you at this Super Bowl, Eddie?
I was. It was in Arizona. That was the David Tyree helmet catch game. And I was with Dan Beyer. We parked in the parking lot there at, I don't know, they still call it University of Phoenix Stadium, whatever it is where the Arizona Cardinals play.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I'm kind of excited about this. This should be crazy because at the time, you know, they still had the goofy people show up for the Super Bowl media day. Anyway, we park the car, we get out of the car, and this woman gets out of the car next to us in a wedding dress. And I looked at Dan, I was like, all right, here we go.
Yeah. Yeah, it was on. Well, now she's on, Eddie. She's on the run. There's a story out that Inez Gomez, I believe is her name. I think I'm getting that right. And her husband are accused of embezzling. Guess how much money they embezzled from the government in Mexico. Take a guess, Eddie.
$20 million.
3 billion pesos.
Well, pesos.
Yeah, that's it's $146 million U.S. money. That's the math on that. But yeah, so they took the money from the Mexican Ministry of the Interior. This goes back to 2016, 2017, and a judge issued a warrant for their arrest. Since then, they've taken off out of the country. Yeah, if you had $146 million, you're not going to stay in Mexico. You're going to get the hell out of there. They faced, check this out, between 20 and 60 years in a Mexican prison. Because of all this. Well, of course, where else would they go? U.S. prison? Anyway, so, wow. Where do you think she is? You think she came to America? Probably not. If you stole 3 billion pesos, 146 million, where would you go?
Mexico.
Well, no, she's already in Mexico. I would go to the Cayman Islands. That's where I would go. That would be my move. Nobody else would go anywhere? You just guys?
I thought that's just where you send your money, not yourself.
Nah, but they don't bug you there. That's where all the back
How
in the
you
old
know?
Days.
Have you ever been there?
I've never been there, but I have had listeners who back in the old days. Now gambling's pretty much legal most places. It will be soon enough outside the Bible Belt. But I've had listeners that have worked at offshore gambling operations in the Cayman Islands, and they say it's great. It's wonderful. It's boring. There's not going on. It's beautiful.
You got to go to Sweden because you got to put your money in the bank, and they won't question you there about it. So.
Are you sure that's still the case? Or are they starting to crack down on that?
No, yeah, I think you're right, Ben. I don't think that's
really.
I don't think that's the situation anymore. Yeah. Oh, I would go to the UAE.
That would be your move.
Yep.
Yeah. Now,
They lack an extradition treaty with the U.S.
Yeah. Coop's thought this out.
Plus probably, a lot of like cool like technology and buildings over there.
They must have figured they got away with it. Like the Tom Brady proposal girl. Like she probably thought, man, this happened in 2016 and 2017. That's 4 years later, and here we are, and now all of a sudden they're facing 20 plus to 60 years in jail. There you go. Eddie, who knew that woman was a criminal, a future criminal? Who knew? Man,
not me.
Yeah, you had no idea. All right, it's Ben Maller's show on Fox. We'll get back to the calls. We have Maller to the third degree as well. Time now for the Insta Trivia, and here it is. Blank leads the NFL heading into week three with the most passes batted down and the most throwaways after just 2 weeks of the season. Again, blank leads the NFL with the most passes batted down and the most throwaways after 2 weeks of the season. That is the Insta Trivia. The answer, and Maller to the third degree next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Most are unable to listen and hear the Ben Maller Show all night long, but with podcasting, you can get caught up on unique show moments that you might have missed. The Ben Maller Show podcast is available on iHeart and wherever you get your podcasts. Piece of cake and upsets the corporate guys. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Time now for the Insta Trivia. Maller to the third degree right after that. Blank leads the NFL with the most passes batted down and the most throwaways after 2 weeks of the season. Week three just kicking off on a Thursday night. So that is the question. What is the answer? And many, many answers flowing in as the Maller Militia try to get it right. Luke, the vending guy. Those vending guys always have the extra snacks. If you need a candy bar or some chips, they're made men, the vending guys. Luke, the vending guy, says Hacksaw Jim Duggan is the answer. Oscar's going with Danny Pesos as his answer. Milkman Mike says, is it Blind Scott's future roommate, Irwin Fletch Fletcher? Is that the answer? Robin Vegas going with Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, as the selection. Marlon Brando from Militia Twitter King. Interesting photo of Marlon Brando. Who else? Late Night Drug Tester going with the iconic Don Crickey or Bob Trumpy from old school NFL television. Page down here, page down. Can't read that on the air. Fargo Pete is going with Dieter Brock, one of the great busts in L.A. Ram history. Mark Wilson from Chris in Des Moines. David in Seattle says the ghost of Lance Armstrong's cancerous testicle is the selection. Jimmy from Maine says Roberto, the birthday boy, is the answer. Happy birthday, Roberto!
Yeah, thank you, Big Ben.
You're welcome, bud. You deserve it. Robin, Minnesota. Doug Minkiewicz, the selection. Who else do we have? Drew Locke was guessed by inebriated. You'd have to be inebriated to throw that out there. Joe Burrow from Just Josh in Cincinnati. Who else do we have? Daniel Hunter from the Vikings, guessed by Arik in Minnesota. Buster Keaton from Illinois. Ted, do you have an answer, Eddie? Please.
I have an answer. Right. What a ridiculous question. Former Bengals star David Klingler.
Legend. That's incorrect. The player that leads the NFL with the most passes batted down, most throwaways, is the player that was the most wagered player to win the MVP award this season, Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen is number one.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Coop Dalu.
So home field advantage in the NFL has been on the decline for years now. Vegas oddsmakers used to value home field at 3 points, and now that's declined to about one. Now, Ben, fans are back in the stands, and yet away teams are winning at the same rate as home teams. What do you think is the cause for the decline in home field advantage?
Yeah, so as a gambler, I look at this. It's a combo of things. Before COVID, I didn't think much of home field advantage. The travel conditions are better. The technology, first-class hotels, your private planes, trains, automobiles, you're not exactly roughing it on stagecoaches. The technology, communication, and the helmets makes it a lot easier and really lessens the impact of the crowd noise. And the only home field advantage that still exists is weather-related. It's cold weather team going to hot weather early in the season. It's warm weather team or a dome team going to a northern city where it's snow and cold and ice and all that. That's still a big deal. Also, time zone is a factor. West Coast to East Coast playing a morning game. But just the crowd itself, not a big deal. Next!
Ben, the St. Louis Cardinals are red hot. They just accomplished their longest win streak since the 2001 season. We're at 12 games now. They have surged into a commanding lead on the NL's second wild card. Do you think they are a team that can make some noise in the postseason?
No. The Cardinals are peaking too soon. They're due to go the other way. Regression to the mean. I'll take my shot right now. Max Scherzer against the world. And the Dodgers are winning that game. Adam Wainwright, I don't even bring back Bob Gibson from the other side. The Dodgers are winning. Next!
Aaron Rodgers revealed on a podcast interview on Wednesday that the reason he is sporting long hair is in preparation for a Halloween costume that he says is, quote, someone who is a hero of mine who has longish hair. Yeah. Ben, any guesses?
All right, so I have three guesses, Coop. I've got the fact that Aaron Rodgers is a closeted Golden Domer Notre Dame fan, and he's going to come out as touchdown Jesus. I've got that. I've also got the new Captain Jack Sparrow. He's going to make the movie. Right? His wife-to-be is an actress, supposedly. And I've never heard of her. And then the one that I think is the favorite here is the new Big Lebowski. The dude. What do you think?
All right, I like it. But I'm still going to fail you for your homer answer to number two.
No, that's not a homer answer. The Big Lebowski. Aaron Rodgers. The dude.